So Romans chapter 3 and commencing to read at verse 9. This is the word of God. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And specifically, we'll look at the verses from verse 21 to 28. We've reached now the midpoint in this occasional series that we're doing. I guess the kickstart for it was, as I've mentioned, the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation. So we've looked so far at the fact that it is by Christ alone that we have peace with God. That's by grace alone. And this evening, we reach by faith alone. There is a framework. There is a connection between these sermons. We started, I think quite rightly, with the centrality of Christ. And then moving on to looking at God's grace to us, we now reach looking at faith, and then we'll look at the wider framework, God willing, in the future, of Scripture alone, and then leading inexorably almost to the fact that it is only God alone that duly deserves and receives the glory. So tonight is by faith alone, and what better passage really could we choose to look at than this section of Romans? By faith alone is one of the foundation stones. Luther himself said that this subject was the pillar of the church by which the church stands or falls. We can examine where we are as a church. We can examine where we are in our Christian walk by our approach and our attitude to this great biblical truth. Now, I'm sure most of us here, and at least a sizable majority, if not, not a sizable minority, would have been used to this phrase from maybe being knee high. But what I want to focus on this evening and get into our understanding maybe once more is how radical this teaching is. I want to remind you of how radical the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith is. Because what is Paul saying in this passage? What's his essence? What's his fundamental point? His fundamental point is that God accepts and pardons the ungodly. In justification by faith, God pardons and accepts the ungodly as righteous. Pause for a moment and think how radical that is. He declares those who are wicked to be not guilty and accepted as righteous. That's how radical this teaching is. And in verses 21 to 22, Paul tells us about the provision of the gospel. He highlights an important part of God's character displayed in the gospel. Now, if you or I were looking at Romans, or looking at writing maybe Romans chapter 3, my guess is that we would say possibly that the gospel of God's grace is highlighted. But that's not what Paul says in verses 21 and 22. What does he say? He says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. So he talks about the provision of the gospel, and he looks at a particular attribute or character of God that's displayed in our justification. And we'll look at that in a short while. And then if you look at the end of verse 22 into verse 23, the second thing that he raises in this passage is the problem. The problem that the gospel answers. Here Paul is saying why there needs to be a gospel, why Jesus did what he had to do, why we are saved by grace through faith. In verses 24 to 26, he explains the process. The process whereby God righteously saves us by grace. And then finally, in verses 27 and 28, you see a fourth thing. You see the proceeds of the gospel. What are the results that come from this faith and the fact that we are justified by faith? And of course, he points to the fact that there can't be any boasting. So we will look at those four points. We look at the provision of the gospel, the problem, the process, and then the proceeds of the gospel. As I said, as I opened, and it bears repeating, justification by faith is one of the most radical things we've ever heard of. When we say that we are justified, it's a legal term. We say that we are declared righteous. When we say we are justified by faith, we are emphasizing that we are not declared righteous because we are righteous. We are declared righteous for another reason. When we say that we are justified by faith, we are not saying that we are justified because we believe or on account of our belief, on the ground of our believing. Because if we said that, then it's a work. It's something that we've done, just our belief, our faith. But justification by faith is not that we are justified by faith just simply as opposed to works. What justification of faith is that we are justified by God's grace, not because of our works, but because of Christ's work for us. In other words, the ground whereby God accepts us and pardons us is not found in us at all. It is not because we are good. It is not because we are better than others. In the tragic circumstances of last weekend in Las Vegas, the gunning down of all those poor people there at that concert, President Trump immediately gave a tweet, wasn't it? It wasn't a kind of a speech, but a tweet, and said, "Well, these people are evil. the people who carried out this, or the person that carried out this, is evil. Now, in a sense, I can see that that's correct. You can see that in a certain way. However, there is something, isn't there, in society this day, in the world, which says, do you know, there's the group of people over here who are capable of these evil deeds. We're okay. We're respectable people. There's this other class that do these things. But we're okay. God doesn't have a bar of that. It is not because we are better than anybody else. Our sins condemn us. We have to be careful as well. It is not because God foresaw that we'd be okay people. That we'd be, as we grew up and as we had certain experiences, or maybe as we were brought up in a Christian family, that we'd have a certain susceptibility to faith. Have to be very careful. That teaching was around, maybe still is around. Certainly it was doing the rounds within even evangelicalism some, I don't know, 10 years ago, that God foresaw that certain people would have faith and therefore little circumstances were hedging those people in. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It is not because God foresaw good works in us. It's not because God foresaw that we would have some kind of faith. It is based upon what God sees in Christ and credits to our account. That's why we say justification by faith. We don't say that it's based on faith, but what Christ has done and what we have received by faith. So the important thing, Paul says here, about our justification is that it has nothing to do in terms of who we are or what we do or about us, but it has everything, absolutely everything to do about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our acceptance with God is not based on something within us, but something based on Christ alone, which is received by us through faith. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what we mean when we say justification by faith. It is a glorious truth, a radical truth. We don't want to domesticate it. We don't want to modify it in any shape or form. And that's why, hopefully, in this short series, we're coming back to the foundations. This is what we believe because this is what God has done for us. And it's not just simply we're looking at it through the lens of what Paul says here in Romans, but it's not just a New Testament doctrine. In fact, in the very next chapter, in chapter 4 of Romans, Paul mounts an entire argument of justification by faith from Genesis 15 on the life of Abraham, way, way back there in the Old Testament. So it is a Bible doctrine. It is a Bible teaching. Old and New Testaments. Now, as I said, we are sometimes tempted, we sometimes tend to think that God justifies those who are righteous. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners." Now, he's not saying there, not for one moment, that there are people out there that are righteous apart from him. But he is saying that there are people who think that they are righteous apart from him. And that his salvation may be something to do with these comments of other people being evil, that their salvation is the provision for those who know that their righteousness can't measure up, don't quite make the bar of God's judgment. Paul here in this chapter knocks that reasoning flat on its back. Justification by faith, the Apostle Paul is saying, is that God accepts and pardons those who don't deserve to be pardoned or accepted. That God declares those to be righteous who were unrighteous. God declares those who are accepted, even though they should not be accepted. We who were in rebellion against God, we who deserved his condemnation, are accepted by justification, by faith. And yet, over the years, the church throughout many ages have tried to sneak a little bit of works back in, because people just can't imagine that God would declare sinners to be righteous. But that's precisely what Paul says in this passage. So, the provision of the gospel for sinners. In verses 21 and 22, that's the first thing that you see. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Paul has spent 2 chapters to this point explaining that we're all under the just condemnation of God. That we deserve to be punished for our sins. And in and of ourselves, we cannot be accepted. But in his mercy, he displays the gospel solution, which is outlined here in 21 and 22. Now, to that point, we're possibly expecting Paul to say something like this. Well, though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and though we were under the just judgment of God, God has displayed his grace in saving us through faith. And that would be right, that would be reasonable. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul says that God has displayed his righteousness in saving us by faith. Now that should pull us up a little bit, should take us by surprise. Because the very question then that we would want to ask is, justification by faith means that God declares sinners to be righteous. And listening to that, we would say, well, wait a minute now. How can God do that? Doesn't God's own word, Deuteronomy 25, Proverbs 17, says it's an abomination when a judge calls the righteous wicked and the wicked righteous? Aren't you saying that's what God is doing? Calling those who are wicked righteous? How how can that work? How can that possibly be the case? And Paul's answer to that is, well, that's what's at the heart of this radical truth. God does declare the ungodly to be righteous. But he doesn't declare them to be righteous anything of themselves. He declares them righteous because something about his Son. And because of what he has done and what God's Son has done for us, God's righteousness is manifested in his grace to us. How? How does that work? Now, Paul says, God deals with our sin not by visiting upon us the due penalty of our sin, but visiting that upon Christ, the penalty for our sin, and therefore justice is upheld. So God is manifesting his righteousness even by justifying us through Christ. There's no compromise. God remains holy and just and righteous because that punishment is visited upon his Son on our behalf. Verse 26. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be the just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So do you get that? Do you get the fact that God's righteousness is vindicated and displayed within our justification? We're not just simply let off the hook. We're not simply excused. That penalty was paid, and was paid in full by Christ. But that leads us on to the problem. The problem is sin. In verse 22 and 23, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no distinction. No distinction between Jew and Greek. No distinction between the faithful Israelite and the pagan Gentile. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that is the basic, fundamental human problem. Now, there are all sorts of people within the church today that'll have different ideas about what our basic human problem is. Some will say, well, in church we want to play down this sin business, this fact that we are rebels, that we have trespassed God's law. We don't want to make too much of that. That's depressing. We don't want to beat people down. We shouldn't talk about sin. The real problem is how do we get along with each other? Fellowshipping in the church, loving one another, loving the world out there. And all that is true and legitimate. But it doesn't address the fundamental issue. The big problem is sin. The big problem is that we deserve the condemnation of God. We deserve to be cast out from his presence. And the apostle is telling us here that God's free justification is his answer to our problem. And the provision is there in verses 21 and 22. And then Paul explains the process. We've said, and we continually emphasize, that this justification is not based upon anything found in us. It is not based upon our works. It's not based upon our goodness. It's not based upon our faith. Look at verse 24. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We're justified as a gift. You can't earn God's gift. We don't contribute to God's gift. We are given a gift. In verses 24 through to 26, he shows us the solution to this problem. He points our eyes, takes our eyes away from ourselves and to the cross of Christ. Our solution for our problem is the satisfying of our due penalty for our sins, provided by Jesus Christ on the cross. The solution for our problem is not found within, is not found in our works, is not found in our goodness, is not found in our faith. All our faith is a looking away from ourselves to him and a trusting in what he has done. That's why God, in this process of justification, chose faith, because faith is inherently self-renouncing. The reformers, the very reformers that we remember this month, they likened faith to an empty hand. It's merely the process. It's nothing inherently that we have or have within our grasp. Faith is the empty hand that reaches out to God. And here's the glorious thing about this justification. God declares you and me sinners, but to be righteous in his sight because of Jesus. Because he is righteous. Because he bears the penalty of the sin. Because of what Jesus is credited, what he has done is credited to our account. Even as to what is ours, our sin is credited to his, as he bore the penalty for that on that cross at Calvary. And even our faith, as Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10, even that faith is the gift of God. So our faith is not the basis by which God accepts us. Christ is the basis, and him alone, by which God accepts us. And faith is the instrument, the empty hand, whereby we get Christ. It's our soul looking away from self and to our Saviour. And that's what Paul says here, so that we can see that God is just in salvation. If God wasn't just in our salvation, he wouldn't be God. He has to be just and righteous in the way in which he deals with us. That's why it's not biblically correct. I think, well, we've been just been simply let off the hook. The full condemnation, which was each and every one of ours, laying on him so that God is shown to be just in salvation. God shows mercy to us, though he gives us what we don't deserve. And in fact, he gives to us what we have demerited, what we've thrown away, what we've previously cast aside. And he gives it to us on the basis of perfect justice, because his Son has paid every iota of our sin in our place, so that God is both merciful and just. He is both just and righteous, and the justifier of those who are not righteous. What an amazing gospel. What confidence we can have in the gospel of our God. I can't put it any better than some questions and answers that are found in the Heidelberg Catechism. If you haven't got a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, you can download it if you've got a Kindle or an e-reader. I think it's free. If it's not, it's less than a cup of coffee. Get it. Get it. It's one of the warmest statements of faith in terms of a catechism, question and answer, that you can find. Little bit of a lengthy quote, but I think it's worth it. The Heidelberg Catechism says this: how are you righteous before God? Answer: only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all God's commandments and have never kept any of them, and I am still inclined to all evil, yet God, without any merit of my own, out of mere grace, imputes to me the perfect salvation, righteousness and satisfaction and holiness of Christ. He grants these to me. Listen to this now. Listen to this. He grants these to me as if I had not committed any sin, as if I had myself accomplished all the obedience which Christ has rendered for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Question: why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Answer: not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. For only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. I can receive this righteousness and make it my own by faith only. What amazing words. What amazing words that give us then the confidence and enables us to look at the proceeds, the results of this justification. Paul's conclusion is clear. Boasting is excluded. How can you possibly brag about anything in a salvation which is granted to you purely and only through Christ Jesus? Look at what we said earlier. If justification by faith meant that we were justified because we believed and other people didn't, or we had a certain propensity to believe and other people didn't, then there'd be a temptation to think that we were better. But that is not what the Bible teaches in terms of justification by faith. We are justified because of Christ. The only difference between those who are saved in this building tonight and those who are not is simply based on the acceptance of God through Jesus Christ. There can be no boasting. We cannot say as Christians, well, we're better than so-and-so down the street. The difference, my friends, is simply Christ. We are justified through something outside of us. A righteousness from God apart from the law. That hymn, isn't it? What does it say? Nothing in my hand I bring. The empty hand again. Simply to thy cross I cling. This is the most radical news that the world has ever seen. There's a growing movement, I think, in churches to have people who have led interesting lives, sometimes very challenging and trying lives, and got themselves in all sorts of problems, and then by grace have come to Christ, to give their testimony. And I guess there's a place for that. The danger, however, is to think, well, these people were somehow different. But if we focus on the most radical news in the world, it will change our lives. It'll change our lives because the gospel is clear. The gospel that God saves sinners. And in doing so, it protects and exalts God's grace and humbles us, the redeemed sinner, because it's all of him. And what does that mean for us, ultimately? It means that we can be certain of our salvation because it rests ultimately in Christ and in no one else. Our fickle lives, our sin-affected lives, cannot support eternal security, not for one moment. But God can. Christ can. For all these reasons, justification by faith is a truth that we need to hold on to daily. And we need to live our lives in the light of that radical truth. And in doing so, give great glory and honor to God.